Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Etan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Primetime with your host, The Fetch.
Anyways, from Riyadh, thank you first of all very much for that, Mary from Riyadh. This is indeed The Fetch, and you are indeed listening to Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Today's date is Thursday, July the 2nd, and a good Thursday afternoon, early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And a good, I guess, Friday morning if you're listening in European and Asian time zones. And, of course, wherever you're listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. Summertime hot is always here in Riyadh. Okay, they're saying it sounds good. Okay, great. Summertime hot is always here in Riyadh as daytime highs hit 111 degrees today. Under sunny skies and a mild breeze, the current temperature is sitting at 90 degrees at just after 1 o'clock in the morning local here. By show's end time, we should be down to about 86 degrees. And when the sun greets us in the morning, we will be at our overnight low of 83 degrees. So it's going to be hot. It's just hot. It's summertime. Normally, as you guys know, I'm out of here by now. Again, I've only spent, I think, one summer out through July the 8th or so. But normally I'm out of here, but it's impossible to get out of here. Saudi Airlines announced today that international flights continue to be blocked except for basically getting expatriates out. If you want to leave the kingdom, there is apparently a special portal that you have to go through, and then you can book a flight through that portal. And then I guess they aggregate the flights and they try to get you out of here. They're not running as, to my knowledge, maybe they are. The various embassies aren't running as many expatriate flights. Normally they do that because a lot of people are leaving just before summer. You have the academic year here, and a lot of academics like myself, I guess, in a way, we're here and we end everything up on the academic cycle. So a lot of people clear out of Riyadh in Saudi Arabia towards the end of the academic year, but that's not the case for yours truly. In fact, it's bizarre, everybody, this week. I've been so busy, I actually lost track of time. I seriously lost a day. Today, I actually thought was Wednesday. So believe it or not, I have, don't ask me why, just the days were blending into each other, and somebody comes into my office today and said, Dennis, are you staying late? And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, everybody's gone home. And I'm like, well, it's like 2 o'clock, right? And I'm like, well, why are they gone? Are you telling me it's Thursday? So yeah, my brain is fried a little bit from just busy. You know, we've had lots of great stuff happening, quite frankly, this week, and a lot of great stuff planned through the summer, quite frankly. Been doing a lot of education, quite frankly, training on the teaching, a little bit on English, believe it or not. People love, they actually love my Isisian code stuff. I've been sharing, now that we're off official books, you know, off the official record here, I can share a little bit more of what I do. And so I've been sharing a lot of my English stuff, and people are like enthralled by the various stuff that I've been doing with the English language over the last few years. I had a pilot come up to me, Air Force pilot come up and said, you know what? I have been studying in the United States for 20 years off and on, and I have never, ever seen anybody tell me about English the way you can tell me about English. You know, we're coming up on July 4th, of course. And that is 74, July 4. And there's a very particular pattern in the Freemasonic world. It's called the Garden of Eden. And it's part of a two-sequence geometric figure where you put the Tree of Life and you put that on top of this other matrix, which is basically two interlinking hexagons with two five-pointed stars where the bases of these stars would be pointing at each other, but they are going at a horizontal, they're flaring out horizontally. And anyways, these are called, you have paths going between all this various stuff, and it's linked, of course, then into the tarot, where you have the zero as the fool out to the 21. And at that 21 is the world. That's the end of the tarot card. And you put that back up against pi. You started at the 32nd digit, which is the first zero. Call that the zero. And then wing it on through. That 21 is actually going to be at the 26, believe it or not. At the second 26 in pi. And, of course, 26 being a symbol of the sun. And another thing, too, 21 in the world, if you've never thought about this with July 4th celebration in America, you have a 21-gun salute. That 21-gun salute equally mirroring that of the major arcanum of the tarot deck. So there's a lot of stuff encoded into our Western esoteric. Actually, I should reverse that, say that differently. There's a lot of Western esoteric traditions encoded into our just basic normal seemingly innocuous traditions out there. And of course, what's happening relative to the destruction of relics and statues and history is a destruction of our past, a destruction of some of this esoteric truths that really are truths. They're not evil, guys. There's something very positive in what we do. You know, the greatest thing you say out there is thank you. Thank you. And of course, Q is the 17th letter. Q is, of course, Q. You've heard a lot about Q lately. If you're a Bible, somebody who studies the Bible, you know that Jesus puts the fish, the cast the net on the right side of the boat, and he collects in 153 fish. And of course, Q is the sum of 1 to 17, which would then be a 153. It ends in Z, which is its mirror, 351. So there's a lot of unique stuff going on out there, and I'm thinking this weekend I should almost do a show on just esoteric stuff of English, just because I've been doing it lately, a lot lately. I just kind of been interested in getting it done. Anyways, you know, first of all, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you're listening out there. You know, if you talk to various officials out there, you know, here in Saudi Arabia, we, of course, have this coronavirus going on and on and on. And people here are starting to just drop the mask a little bit. I saw people that normally are wearing masks today, not wearing masks. We still are faking it a little bit, going into establishments, and you just kind of like have it hanging on your ear just so you don't have a bunch of headaches. It's not your country type of thing. It's not America. In America, I'd be actually fighting. I'd actually be fighting with you guys on the streets. I would not be tolerating this stuff if I were in America. I have had many government officials, quite frankly, not many, but a couple, talk to me about the coronavirus, and I've given them my honest opinion. And my honest opinion is the same thing you hear right here on Inside the Eye Live and Inside the Eye Live Primetime. So as you can imagine, I'm not holding back any punches whatsoever. A lot of confusion why this is happening. You know, here we are going into the hot, hot, hot summer months, you know, and a virus of coronavirus stature, it's still a virus. If it's catchable, you know what I mean? Because there's still people saying you can't catch a virus, and I'm just throwing that out there for your edification. But let's say it is. Let's say it is, okay? And then you catch it. Let's say you do, okay? Just humor the official story. Well, this darn virus dies in about half a second, quarter second, once it's exposed to ambient temperature, especially in the frequencies as we have in the summertime. And as long as you're outside, you have zero chance of ever getting a coronavirus from anything, quite frankly. And yet you're sitting there, there's telling you to wear masks and social distance. And it's like, you know what? You guys, it's insanely silly if it weren't so serious, at least the way it's being projected by a lot of governments out there. You know, I was in the Philippines. I got the business in the Philippines. And they, like the electric company, all of a sudden they've decided they needed money. So they put out bills to everybody. And I swear, everybody's been shut down for 3 months, right? So there's absolutely no electricity being used because all of our establishments are closed. And they gave me a bill this week for the same amount of money as if I was open. It's like, well, how do you give me a bill for the same amount of money and usage as if I'm open and I am running absolutely zero electricity in this building. It's so bad. Some companies were like getting billed like huge numbers, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And this is in a market where it's very difficult to come by dollars because you need 50 pesos to make $1, right? So the company next to me at my building, they just shut their doors. They screw this. You know, they got hit with a 16,000 peso bill, which is about 300 and some odd dollars. And they have been out of business like me for 3.5 months. It's like, what am I spending all of this money for? And it's not just that, but it's also in our home. So there's something very fishy going on. And it's like, you know, the government today called the business owners in the Philippines, right? Actually, not today, but yesterday. And they're asking for donations. It's like, well, what do you mean donations? You know what? When this first started in good faith, we put up, brought 100 kilo worth of rice. We bought a bunch of dried fish at the direction of the government officials. We packed them up into 60 different packs and donated them for you. And now they're asking for 3 kilos of rice. It's like, what's this? It's like, you know what? Why don't you people in government nowadays, and I'm talking about across the entire world, why don't you just realize that we're all getting played here? We're getting played big time. Quit acting like a bunch of scared little children and let's get back to work. Look, it's got a 99.97% survival rate. Why are we going to be worrying about like a virus forever? I hear that Texas is starting to, oh, we're going to have to shut down. And Tony Fauci, the head of the NIH, he's talking about, oh, the direction of the country, it's going in the wrong way. I would arrest that son of a, you know what? I would just take him out. There is something going on about this thing that is absolutely sinister. And I'll tell you, if we had a legitimate counterintelligence type of network in our country, which is actually the job of the FBI, but they're too stupid. They're too busy arresting white nationalists for daring to say something that might be seen as anti-Semitic. You're not going to get anywhere with this type of stupidity in government. We need tough, hardcore, hard-nosed people in our government institutions that are going to take on this challenge. All of this stuff like, oy vey, you said something that Jews don't like. We're coming after you now. What the hell is that? With all due respect, what the hell is that? What the hell are you guys doing out there in the intelligence world? Seriously, what are you doing in the intelligence world? You've got Bill Gates talking like this.
You know, they took their experience and actually prepared, and so they moved a lot faster. So we, you know, we'll have to prepare for the next one. That, you know, I'd say is, will get attention this time.
So, you know, you've got Bill Gates up there talking out there with his, looks like his tranny wife now. He's literally saying, look, the next one is going to get noticed. Well, first of all, you don't have these things. These not are not natural. Whatever it is not natural. Now you've got a Bill Gates saying, well, the next one, it's going to get attention. Well, I would have this guy under 24/7 surveillance. I wouldn't let anything out of his sight. I would have my people full-time on counterintelligence, tracking everything in the medical industry. I would be talking to my FDA and saying, hey, what's with this? I know you're supposed to be independent, but you're cutting hydroxychloroquine. 6,000 doctors are saying, look, this thing works when you put the right soup together, and now the FDA is trying to tell people you're not supposed to use it. You have government officials like AOC, one of the squad members in Washington, she's literally saying, look, it's very important that the governors keep this everything shut down until after the November election because it may help Trump win the election if we don't keep this thing shut down. This thing is so political, it is becoming absolutely insane. They have allowed in America, okay? You Americans know this as we go into the July 4th weekend. They have allowed massive riots. They have allowed destruction of heritage, culture, history. They have allowed the burning, looting of whole and entire is redundant, right? But entire business districts. They have gone after anyone and anybody that dares criticize a bunch of thugs who call themselves BLM, burn, loot, and murder. I think they got another acronym. I think it means something else, but I just go by their actions, burn, loot, and murder. You're setting up autonomous zones in the country. Do you realize, like, CHOP, formerly known as Chazistan, now Chopistan, it's been shut down. They didn't shut the darn thing down till the Chopistan people went to the mayor's office or the mayor's house. Again, this is all political. And the problem we have here is it's not white man America that's causing the problems. But all we hear about is white man America is the problem. White man America is this. White man America is that. It has nothing to do with us. This has everything to do about Jewish, democratic, diversity style politics. And we are all seeing it, but nobody wants to really focus on the real problems, but it is being voiced out there.
But we have to be very loud, and we have to loudly proclaim that not one major city or very few major cities in our countries have had a Republican mayor in the last 50 years. Louisville is the main city in Kentucky. We haven't had a Republican mayor since 1972, and we've got some problems there. But if there are complaints about the police force and complaints and needs for reform, they need to understand that the Democrats did this. The Democrats have run our cities, our major cities, for 50 years. And the one thing I would point out, and I think it's too simplistic to make this all about racism, is that, you know, Chicago, a third of the police force is African American. Most of the police chiefs have been African American. Most of the mayors have been African American over the last 50 years. It isn't about just about racism. It's about fixing problems. But they're all Democrats, so how people get away with blaming Republicans in Washington for this, these are mostly local problems. Even President Obama, when he wrote about this, said that ultimately local officials in Minneapolis are going to have to fix this. And in Minneapolis, there hadn't been a Republican mayor since 1972 also.
So with all of these issues going on, it is absolutely critical that we start to evaluate, openly discuss, tell Jews to go shove it up their you-know-what when we start to talk about their failures. Because their media has been absolutely atrocious to the American people. They have become a propaganda arm of a very sinister, dark, communist force in our nation. And quite frankly, they should all be viewed as enemies of the state. They should be arrested. They should be put into Guantanamo and the keys thrown away. And let's be honest, folks, that's actually not so harsh considering what they have in store for everybody else. You know, it's almost impossible nowadays to even have an opinion. I know that Reddit, I never got into Reddit. I was like hammered in Reddit before I even got started. I could never even get going on Reddit. But now they've dumped like hundreds of conservative voices out there. And mind you, I'm not really considering myself, I am conservative. I'm about as hardcore conservative as you can get in some respects. And, but I'm banned long time ago. You know, I hear like Stefan Molyneux. He's like a Jewish guy, fake white national, fake right, alt-right type of personality. Even so many people have been kicked off of the public square. Seriously, so many people. And people say, well, you need to build something else. Well, how do you build something else when you build it and then you have Jews or they're Pakistani or Muslim or Indian or whatever CEOs basically going out and cutting people's Visa cards, for instance? That happened to Gab a week ago or so or this week. So there is a huge problem in America with the way in which the establishment is treating the American people. And here, we're not so naive on this particular show. We understand there is a huge agenda. Nothing is random. Everything is documentable at the end of the day. We have a great open source research department out there. So many brilliant people working on research, putting things together. For instance, Bill Gates is talking about, well, the next one's going to get attention. Well, I would actually send the FBI. I would have this guy brought in and say, listen, you want to clarify that statement for us? Because these things don't happen randomly. The AIDS virus has a U.S. patent number, 5676977. The H1N1, which killed hundreds of thousands of people, has a patent number, 8835624. The Ebola virus has a patent number, 20120251502. The swine flu has a patent number, CA27415231. BSE. I'm not even bovine. Maybe that's a bovine thing. Another U.S. patent number. Zika, a patent issued to the Rockefeller Foundation. And now coronavirus has two patent numbers. 789-7744 and 850-6968. Well, I would like to know exactly who is behind these patents. I guess we can now go look them up. No, that was SARS, by the way. SARS has two patents. Coronavirus has one patent, 101-30701. Everybody can go look that up. But guys, these aren't random. That means they're patented. Patented means they're manufactured. And we have Bill Gates telling us that the next one's gonna get your attention. Well, everybody should let Bill Gates know that if something happens, we're gonna have his attention equally. And it ain't gonna be pretty. Because if he thinks he's going to run around creating some biological terrorist act on the American people, he should stand first and foremost at the firing squad when we start to put this thing back down. Because these are insurrection type of moments here. I don't care how much money he has. When you have these parasites, rich or not, being able to rule over the land as if somehow they are the rulers of our nations, and yet they are above the law, then the nation state cannot succeed. And that is what we see happening here. We see an implosion of the rule of law in so many areas and aspects throughout the West. Governor Newsom, you guys know my old stomping ground. I grew up in California, a Southern California guy. Governor Newsom this week, he's shutting down pretty much everything. You can't go into museums. You can't dine in. Are you out of you guys? Seriously, this guy's out of his mind. This type of mentality, this guy is out of his mind. The people there should just say, screw you. You know, here in Saudi, the numbers are going skyrocketing. I talked just last week. Right across from my office, there's a particular stadium. And it's like packed. It's not like America. Remember the stories we'd see about America? You would have all of these, you know, all of these testing facilities. There's not a soul in sight. Well, no, in Saudi, they are packing it, man. It's not as much today and yesterday as it was the past 10 days or so. But it was just lined up with cars after cars after cars. A colleague of mine, he went and got tested. It came back negative. He's perfectly fine. But in America, we are learning. We are now learning that hospitals are spiking everything. There's some report now where we had a group of nurses coming out and they were like getting suspicious. What's this? Everybody's getting COVID-19. Everybody's coming back positive. Well, they sent out, like, kind of like the Tanzania president, they sent out 10 samples. All of them were fake, and they all came back positive. Imagine that. Then you've got a situation where one old man, he wants to leave something. He can't leave until he gets a negative test. He's been tested 20 times, and guess what? Each one of those times is classified by these idiots in the government as a unique individual test, so he's counted as being 20 different cases. Again, we are led by a bunch of childish idiots. And it really is that simple. We have got to get the idiots out of our various institutions. And if you look at it, think about it. You have the liberal loons out there. Basically, the other side of the coin, you know, I look at them as trolls basically, but it's become actually a little bit more dangerous now. But it's the same trolling stupidity that I was seeing back in the troll wars with, you know, the Arnheimers and his gay nigger association, all this crap that we had to deal with back then. These people are absolutely insane. We are dealing with a level of complete idiocy that we have never ever had to witness in our life before. There's absolutely nobody of a mature, intelligent, demeanor in our various governmental services. They are all like so filled with their delusions, you know, white man bad, diversity good, BLM good, Antifa good, and no whites can speak, and everybody has to be quiet, and political correctness rules, which is actually the dumbest thing going. Calling something so patently dishonest, unethical, correct, has got to be one of the dumbest things we've ever allowed ourselves to do. We need to start calling these things a proper name. That is not politically correct. That's politically idiotic and childish. It's stupid. These politically idiotic and stupid people, which are called political correct, have got to be torn asunder. And I don't care. I swear, I don't care how it's done at this stage. I've become somewhat antagonistic towards this whole enemy there. Okay, everybody, welcome back. It is July 2nd, going into really, I guess, holiday weekend, major holiday weekend, we would hope, in the United States. I'm assuming at this stage it's going to be one of the deadest July 4th ever. We're going to have to find out, but with all of these Democratic states, these communist strongholds in America that have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they really do not like America. They do not like Americans. They do not like the country as it is, would like to change it, would like to create an environment of fear, chaos, probably mass die-offs. We'd have to just see about that. Actually, we hope not to have to see about that. But I suspect that this year it's going to be a very, perhaps it could be served, perhaps this July 4th weekend will serve as really a reflection point about what was America, what is America, and where America is heading as a nation. Folks, you know, being an expatriate now for about 10 years, it's a unique situation because, I don't want to pat myself on the back too much here, but I guess I have to. Guys, people trust my word, okay? They trust my word out there. They trust that I'm honest. If I tell them something, they trust that it is most likely true. They don't necessarily believe me. That's true. They don't necessarily believe me, but they know that I'm not being willfully dishonest, that I'm not being willfully pandering to them. And so consequently, they will at least give my voice an honest listen. And that goes I'm not like Illuminati here, guys. So I'm not like that. But I'm around a lot of different people. And I'm telling you, you have to speak the truth. You have to speak clearly about the nature of the problem. Because unless you are inside the US or the UK or Germany or some of these other Jewish-run hellholes when it comes to intellectual freedom, people get it. People get it. They don't want you to pander to them by being nice and pleasant and sweet and, oh, everything is so hunky-dory and, yeah, Black Lives Matter because they burn, loot, and murder everybody. It's a great thing. No, what you're looking at is basically Rhodesia 3. Okay, you got Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. You have South Africa. It should change their name. I swear, they should call it something else. I don't care what they call it, but don't call it South Africa, because the current construction of South Africa is not South Africa. It has been taken over. It is almost as if an army marched in, which is exactly what happened. A black army marched in, took over the country. And that's what's happening throughout the entire Western world. You have these African migrants coming into our countries and literally just taking them over. Now, if you look at parts of Minneapolis, it looks like Mogadishu. It literally looks like Mogadishu. The Somalis have brought Mogadishu to you. And yet we have governments and Jewish people and politicians. They're all pushing for more and more and more immigration. For what? You got so much labor now in America, you don't need to worry about not having enough labor for all the factories you're going to have, because you're going to bring back all of the manufacturing to America. You ain't going to have that problem for a year to 2 years, at least, assuming that's actually the case. Anyways, chat room. Haven't announced it. It's quiet, man. It's not technically dead, okay? Dead is like five or less, all right? It ain't technically dead, but it's like really quiet. It's really, really quiet. I don't know where the numbers are at now. Let me try to find it. Where are you guys at? Chat room. Inside the iLive. There you are. We are at 10, okay? We're not officially quiet. We're quiet, okay? I think under 10, I'm just going to call it dead, guys. So you guys, we're just real quiet there today, huh? So anyways, we've got a whole 10 people there. Telephone lines, if anybody's even listening, right? Inside the Eye Live, phone number 323, that's +1 internationally, or even if you're out of the area code, +1-323-275-1314, that's +1-323-275-1314. So feel free to get your, 4th of July comments in or whatever you want to get in. Be happy to hear from you. What else did we want to talk about? It's listener sponsored support. Does rely upon your donations to keep this place up and running. I may have had a problem with my recording device, and that's why it wasn't sounding so good. That's my guess. But other than that, you know, everything is going great. We have to edit out the beginning of the show, but anyways, everything's going great. You know what I've noticed about the commercials about this place? Before, they've changed the commercial structure here, and it's much better. You know what I mean? In the old days, we'd have shows like Link to My Show, and it's like, what do you have any, why are we putting those shows with my show? There's not really any good synergy in the cross-marketing of the shows, but it's been much better now. I think the shows now that are broadcasting, or not broadcast, but being advertised on this show are actually much better. I think they're doing a much better job on that too. So there's been a lot of positive changes. Mike, Nighthawk, rest in peace, man. But the place is starting to shape up, and it's good to see. So what else is, if you're inclined and you have the ability, please go ahead and make a donation to the studio, because we are still here, everybody. Everything's going fine. Everything's actually going great. What else? Well, the ITEL Cat Report. We've taken a donation. We haven't started that yet. Man, I'm being lazy. You know what? The Citizen Reporter, she's come and sponsored 5 weeks. I haven't even started the campaign. See how lazy I've been? Actually, it's not lazy, guys. I am really, really busy right now. I didn't even know it was Thursday. Seriously, I didn't even know. I thought it was Wednesday. The week went so fast. It's like, dang, man, I got to do a show tonight. Yeah, it's quiet here. Let's see. Not a lot to report on cats. You know, I got a couple cute stories here, though. For whatever reason, you know, I'm still at the hotel. And at the hotel, it's Saudi, so everything's 110, 112 degrees outside. Actually, if you, the streets, obviously, it's going to be much hotter than that, you know. Kind of absorbs the heat, right? So what the kittens do, we've got mother's got like 3 kittens that have survived to up to a decent age, which is really, really hard to see here. You don't see it very often. And 2 of the kittens and mom were like camping out literally inside the door. The staff here let them come inside the door. And they were like enjoying the cool air conditioning. I was like, hey, champs, you guys are pretty smart, man. Good job. And then we got a Chinese guy here. You know, the Chinese guy was kind of cool. He brought down some food, was feeding the cats, and I said hello to him, and his English was pretty good. I said, all right, that's nice of you to feed the cats, man. Good job. Nice work. So, you know, we've had a lot of great stuff here. Meantime, I'm not comfortable with the Philippines because Emily has decided to name another cat, a male from the new brood, Bruiser. She wants to resurrect the name Bruiser, and every time she talks about Bruiser, it just doesn't work for me. But she insists, and like, she's got to take care of them, and she's got to do everything, so it's like, I got to go along. You guys know how that works when the wives say, this is what it's going to be. You just kind of got to go along because it's just not worth it. So anyways, we have a new Bruiser, and he's a grayish cat, gray, he's kind of tabby-ish, to be honest with you, gray and it's a little bit orange. The only male, I got 4 more females, it's like, geez, what am I going to do? But nonetheless, Bruiser is running around the house, Dempsey is absolutely insane, he is like Emily's best of friends. If you ever had a pet, whether it's a dog, a hamster, or a, I don't know, maybe a lizard or a snake, and they just want to cuddle up to you every time you sit down. I'm not sure snakes would do that. You know what I mean? I'm not sure they would, but maybe you had a snake that would do that, or a lizard for that matter. Iguana. You know, iguanas are supposed to be pretty smart, but that's kind of... Yeah, exactly. See, Hanshan in the chat room is saying there can never be a second Bruiser. I agree. The name Bruiser should be retired. But I guess she misses Bruiser so much, she wants another Bruiser, guys. So let's let her have Bruiser, even though I am absolutely 100% against it. You know, she carries, by the way, guys, to this day. You know, Bruiser, he lost his teeth, right? Because he didn't have any teeth. And we're surprised he even made it to become an adult, to be honest. We had to nurse that guy, that little guy back to health just to get him to have the life he had. But he lost his teeth, and she carries to this day his teeth with him. One of his teeth has a good luck charm, believe it or not. So she always has Bruiser with him. That's kind of cool, I guess. It's kind of morbid to me. But nonetheless, you know, I've known Chinese. They keep the ashes of some of their relatives, part of the ashes in their houses. So I guess if you want to carry a little bit of Bruiser with you, that's okay. But that's the Ideal Cat Report. We're going to move on. It's not sponsored. It's sponsored, but we haven't started. I got to talk to Eric and see what we're going to do. Just so busy. Seriously, it's been really busy. Let's get over to the Oy Vey-ish moment, huh? Let's see if this one's going to promptly play properly.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey, everybody.
Oy Vey.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boyum tears.
Oy Vey!
Oy Vey, everybody!
Oy Vey!
The Oy Vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. All right, and this week's Oy Vey moment, we are going to go, I'm not sure exactly where the story's coming from, but, not sure where. Maybe it's coming, I think this is coming out of Israel, so let's just call it Israel. And what it is this. Right now, we're in a situation where, let's be honest, to speak your mind is dangerous. To act out your convictions, even if it was a perfectly legal thing to do, can have very serious ramifications. It's quite an interesting time we live. Now, somebody like myself, who has been banned from Twitter, banned from YouTube, banned from so many websites, and I've been banned, everybody, from the left and the right, you know, the far extreme right. If you're going to call the Daily Stormer people and Andrew Arnheimer's and all of his trolls the far right, which to me they're not, they're just a bunch of crypto Jews, then I would have been banned by the far right and the far left. I've been banned for saying things against the LGBTQ community. I have been actually banned by something I said to an NBC sports reporter, believe it or not. The sports reporter didn't like what I had to say. He was a Jewish guy and basically filed a complaint, had me banned at one of my accounts. So I've been banned all over the place. And so we have to really make a stand against this idea of a minority empowering themselves to silence us. And they're very serious about this. For instance, there's a headline coming out of Israel. Anti-Semitism, of course, everything just means we Jews aren't getting our way. I don't know how to use that word. The word anti-Semitism to me is absolutely a word that demonstrates Jewish hatred of humanity. And it just boggles my mind that we have allowed them to use this racially charged, hate-filled phrase to the effect that they have. Another one is hate speech. They like to use the term hate speech. Everything that they don't like, they hate, right? So therefore, they want to silence what they don't want to hear. They don't want people to have an agenda politically that runs counter to Jewish policies. That's all anti-Jewish is. If you call it anti-Semitism, it doesn't matter. You don't have to hate these idiots. They're punks at the end of the day. Let's be honest. Call them for what they are. They're a group of punks that want to impose themselves on everybody. Call it for what it is. This is a thug mafia culture. They are the most intolerant you-know-what holes out there. Let's be honest. They just are. You know, I was thinking, I'm going to digress a little bit because it's dealing with hate speech and all this crap. I was thinking going back to Georgia. You guys know Georgia now. Georgia from the former KSCO host out there in Santa Cruz. And I was thinking about her today. Sorry, Georgia. I didn't mean to bring you into the story here, but I was thinking about you. Because Georgia had this really well-rated show in Santa Cruz, and she was talking about the war on the white people and how this Jewish owner, quite frankly, he eventually did. He silenced her and, you know, basically tried to put this out as it's all conspiracy kookiness and it's not true and blah, 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 and it's hate speech and grr, grr, grr. It's just on and on and on. And you know, we look about it now, a year later or so, a year and a half after her show's been canceled, and it's like plain as day. There is an open war against European Americans, against white people. And half of what we are witnessing out there has nothing to do with us as quote unquote white people. The idea of white privilege is idiotic. It's absolutely idiotic. You want to talk about privilege? Talk about being black. Being able to go around and smash people's heads in, and then they won't even release your mugshot like up in San Francisco because, hey, it might imply some racial stereotyping. Yeah, that's intelligent. That's pretty empowered. That's pretty privileged. To be such a culture to which, hey, you know what? We won't even show your mugshots anymore because you guys are such idiots. You're committing crimes day in and day out. And how about Jews? Just even breathe the wrong sentence toward them and they want to have you silenced forever. That's privilege. And then you look at on the television, all you see are Jews, 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 Jews. It's like, come on, man. I haven't seen so many yarmulkes. If you all had the little, that stupid thing on your, you know, like a propeller on your head, maybe you would all be like flying away. It could be like a new drone or something. It's insane. Yet just noticing that is quote unquote anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic. Give us a break. Just give us a break. So now what they're saying here is, from Israel, that they are trying to monitor Trump's and influence Trump's behavior. They're trying to influence Trump's behavior and moderate Trump's behavior. The chutzpah. Again, I know Trump is the most pro-Israel, since maybe Lyndon Johnson. Okay, Lyndon Johnson was certainly crypto an Israeli agent after what happened with the USS Liberty. So now they're saying here that trying to moderate Trump's behavior online is actually not solving the problem, but it's going to perpetuate it. No, what's going to perpetuate it is simply failed Jewish policies. Literally, that's what's going to perpetuate it. Simply Jewish failures. Jewish immigration failures, Jewish economic policy failures, clear intended malice when it comes to the media. Which would then we could call media failures, Jewish legal failures, lawfare failures. What is going to cause the problems to the Jewish people isn't us, but it is going to be our reaction if we are ever able to get together. And it's very telling that the Jewish people don't even allow white people to get together under a clear white type of label and simply begin advocating for their own political agenda. And why not? You have Reddit this week saying that it is absolutely okay. It is absolutely okay to discriminate and create hatred towards the majority. But here's the funny thing. We're not even the majority on social media anymore. We are the minority. We're not the majority. Think about that for a second, everybody. It's okay to heap hatred upon the majority. That's a new Reddit policy. Basically, that's what it's saying. But we're not the majority. We're actually the minority inside of these forums. So when you take these little worlds and then these subworlds and subworlds, which they would call subreddits, right? But you take all these various little worlds, you go to Twitter, heck, our voices are the minority. We already are the minority. We've been so purged, we are the minority. We're not the majority. And yet they're saying it's okay to heap hatred upon the majority. But everyone's like assuming we're the majority. We're not. So if you even follow Reddit logic, we should be able to smash everything within the LGBTK. They're the majority out there. All the liberal nutcases, we should be able to talk about it. All the Jewish policies, we should be able to talk about it. Anyways, in Tel Aviv, they're saying that President Trump has a well-established reputation for being aggressive. But see, here's the Israelis. They call Trump petty. And even at times, incoherent. Compared to what? Compared to Jews calling every frickin' thing under the sun anti-Semitic? You think that's coherent? That ain't coherent. That's about as stupid and lame as you can get. And the problem is that we have stupid, idiotic people across the entire spectrum of governance. And so they're getting away with doing whatever they want. They quote something here Trump tweeted out May 29th. When the looting starts, the shooting starts, a phrase used by a white police commissioner. It wasn't a white police commissioner. It was a black police commissioner. They're lying. They frickin' lie. It was used equally by a black commissioner. They are lying through their teeth. It is what Jews do. Why can't Jews simply just tell the truth? Why is it we always have to be lied to time in and time again? Like somehow, basically, to me, lying, folks, like this style of lying is basically walking up to somebody in public and slapping them in the face and not expecting any type of repercussion or reaction towards your actions. It is the most infuriating thing that you can do to somebody. But Jews do it without any abandon. What a pathetic culture. Seriously, when are they going to stop? But they're not, because they're pathetic. And if they want to call that anti-Semitic, then so be it. Who cares? Because it's true. Somehow the truth Jews don't like. And then Jews should explain to us, why are you so opposed to the truth? Because maybe Jew lie. You know, there's something about July. Seriously, July. And I found it in something called Hermetic Freemasonry. And they talked about how there's something called, what's that thing called? Oh, apperception? No, it's not the apperception. Man, I've got to go back and read my stuff. I've forgotten more than I remember. Rule of Kollel. That's what it is. Rule of Kollel. There's shifts of one in these Illuminati systems. There's shifts. It's called a shift of one. So if you look at July and August, July isn't really the peak time of summer. It's actually June type of thing. But the Masons put it in such a way that they were talking about a rule of Kollel, this little shift to one. And they're like, well, because in the old days, you know, with the equinox or the precession of the equinoxes, the precession means summer would have been I'll tell you what. Eric, I'll get to that later. You have more faith in that than I do. I'm not a big fan of the UN, by the way. I think the UN is far less competent than people make it out to be. I know a lot of these UN guys, they're not all that competent. They don't even have a budget to operate, guys. The UN, everybody, I'll tell you what, I'll get into the UN next hour. I'm not gonna go too far into that, but the UN is not as strong as you may think. Let's see here. With the enhanced scrutiny they're saying on social media networks to stop hate speech. But again, you can't, all you're doing is saying that you're going to impose yourself onto everybody else. You're trying to impose yourself on everybody else. And consequently, what Jews are saying is that they are a totalitarian system. They're a totalitarian mindset. They do not allow for anybody, quite frankly, to have a say. They're the enemy. That's not the American way. So they are the enemy of the American people. It's the Fetch, everybody. Back with more after this. Okay, I think we are back. It looks like we're back. I got a dry throat today, guys. It's hot here. Probably I should be drinking more water. Probably. But it's dry. Anyways, it is what it is. I've been saying that a lot lately. Where are we at? It's July 2nd, July 3rd here, 2 o'clock in the morning. I like these times. I really hate the winter schedules, guys, when I'm up from 2 to 4. I don't mind the 1 to 3 so bad, but that 2 to 4, that really sucks. So anyways, and I prefer it better than Philippine times too, by the way. Chat room, it's still quiet, but it's getting a little bit better. Again, InsideTheEyeLive.com. It's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. And then if you'd like to phone in, 323-275-1314. That's 323-275-1314. Of course, big news, couple of stories coming out that are kind of big. One of those is New York saying they're going to defund the police department. And with that defunding of the police department, I think they're talking about taking off about $1 billion, something like that, taking it, moving it away from the police. And someone sent me some information today saying, Fetch, this is all just kind of cover story. The fact of the matter is de Blasio and his wife, who happens to be a black woman, again, this is part of the scam of those in the diversity realm. They have like essentially appears to be have absconded with something like $1.3 or $1.4 billion, something like that. So they are just now it looks like they're trying to cover for the fact that they don't have money. They've lost the money. They've maybe embezzled the money. They misappropriated the money. It's hard to hide $1.3 billion, everybody. That's a very serious issue here. So by defunding the police by a certain amount, and you have to wonder if this is the case in New York, and it may very well be that's exactly what's happening in New York. How many of these various police departments that are getting defunded are really being defunded more because of an economic point of view and You know, Erica, you should call me, man. You're just like pinging me left and right. I can't just break off and do a show so fast. So basically, I'm not a doom and gloomer guy. You know, it's going to get bad. It could get worse, type of thing, but I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I think things are solvable, quite frankly. That's just, maybe I'm naive. You can call me naive, but, I tend to be somewhat on the scales of Ma'at. I tend to be on the side that says it's not the eventually good will win out, but maybe that's not true. It hasn't been winning out for quite some time, it seems. And what we see happening in America doesn't look good. But there's been a couple things that have broken. Number one is the arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell. Well, first the police. Let me go back to the police. So essentially what you have here is you have a lot of organizations out there, Democratic-run cities, they're corporations at the end of the day, that have absolutely run their cities into the ground. They have been complete failures. Of course, they have embraced the diversity cookie, the diversity Kool-Aid. A lot of these have backing of Jewish groups, Jewish power structures out there. And quite frankly, they've been complete failures. And all of these black mayors out there, for the most part, black police chiefs. I mean, you've got situations like Chicago. One third of the police force is black. That's not a, come on, one third of your police force is black. You've got so many black guys being put into police chiefs all because they're diversity hires. And then you're going to blame Whitey for all your problems. I'm like just bewildered. I'm confused. It's like, really? You're going to blame Whitey when it's your black police officers, your black mayor, your city's been run by your people for 50 years. Come on. What is it? Chicago, 1972, last time they had a Republican in there. I think Minneapolis, same thing, 1972, something like that we heard earlier today. 72, 82, 92, 02, 12. We're almost 48 years into this darn thing. And you're going to go blame Whitey. Yeah, it's all because of Whitey. It's like, you know, it's at a level of stupidity, quite frankly, that I can't really fathom people being this stupid. I really can't. I can't people fathom. I mean, I get people are stupid, okay? I get that part. Don't get me wrong here. But I can't believe that people think they're so smart that they're going to actually voice their opinion, but they're really this stupid. And they're going to go public with be look, I'm stupid. Look what I just said. It's all Whitey's fault. It's like, are you really that stupid? And really, it's like, and another thing, you know, we heard about that event in St. Louis. I'm going to go back to the St. Louis event because I never saw this. I just learned about this today. You know, there was actually, this was the boomers, right? The boomer liberals came out with a rifle, a semi-automatic rifle, and a handgun. She had the handgun, he had the semi-automatic rifle after basically protesters broke through their gate and were threatening to kill them. And here we are thinking, oh, this is a terrible thing, you know, they came out armed. What you didn't know is that there was a black guy there with a gun. There was a guy with a gun there. He actually came onto that premises with a weapon. And yet nobody ever, the media never told me that. Again, the amount of lies from Jews, I can't stand it. I really can't stand the way they abuse my sensibilities or my sensibilities. I can't stand it. I can't. It's like, you scumbags. What is it about the yarmulke that gives you so much privilege that you will allow your staff to simply lie to us, to simply deceive us? What total trash. I have no respect for this culture anymore. What I see them doing to the United States is absolutely unconscionable. These guys have been a danger since the time that the Dutch East India Tea Company forced them onto the colonies back in the 1600s. They have been, nobody wanted them to come because everybody knew what dangers they were to the Republic. George Washington wasn't a fan of them. Thomas Jefferson wasn't a fan of them. In fact, very few of the people that were in charge of that were starting the United States were fans of Jewish people. It's actually a very well known, but why haven't you Jews talked about that? And what is it about the Jewish community that makes them scream anti-Semite day in and day out? What is it that makes them scream this every single day? Are you such a pathetic culture that you just don't know how to get people to like you? Is that our fault or is that your fault? Seriously, whose fault is that? I have never known a group of people that never, ever takes responsibility for their problems. And in this regard, the failures we see from the LGBTQ community is real. The failures we see from the black community is real. The failures we see from the Jewish community is real. And the failures we see from the bought and paid for whitey politicians equally is very real. So at the end of the day, the street battle, the heart and the soul of everything goes down to the street. Politics, as we've said so many times, is personnel. People can only impose an agenda upon you if you are not in a position of power to ensure that they don't. Which means what? There has to be some form of organization that essentially starts to put your own interests first and you start working to gain political power. And if that means you run for office, you run for office. Maybe you can handle it. If that means you become a little bit more activist, you become more activist. There is nothing anybody can do to you if you control the levers of power. And that's the key point here. There is nothing they can do to you once you have the levers of power. If you want to smash Jews tomorrow and you have the levers of power, you can do it tomorrow. And that's the real lesson here. When you really start to focus on why Jews are so against Whitey, because if Whitey ever starts to rise up and organize, we understand the Jewish power structure. We get it quite clearly that it's anti-Western. We get that it's murderous, that it's thuggish, that it's a mafia mentality, that it's organized crime. What you haven't figured out yet is it's deadly. They murder. They have no problem. Look what they did to Jim Trafficante. You think the tractor really rolled over him? How many people, frankly, how many people have been suicided for studying perhaps something in the pharmaceutical industry? You are dealing with a murderous cult. That's the reality of this. When you dig deep down into the ADL and the SPLC and the APEC and all these other Jewish organizations, and there's thousands of them, you are dealing with the benign phase of what underneath appears very clearly to be a murderous cult. We have on display what happens, let's say, in Israel. If you're going to tell me that what you're witnessing is not a murderous cult, they take pleasure in Israel of killing people, guys. They take pleasure. It's part of their system there. It's part of their heritage. It's part of their culture. It's part of how they are bred from childhood. Their children are taught to kill people as young as 3 years old. And this is very well known. It's very well documented. The pictures are out on the net for you to view. Power is personnel. Politics is personnel. That's the key lesson here. Now, the point is that there's no other way to change things. Because even if you go into a revolutionary cycle and you start to fight back on the streets, eventually you're still going to have to deal with the issue of personnel and governance and who's going to run things. For instance, the FDA. The citizens right now should be up in arms and should be doing everything in their power to change the structure of the FDA. And that goes for every single federal agency. If these places are shown to be corporations, defund them. Take them down. Take away all of the sourcing. Take away all of the monetary channels. That's what they do to you. Think about it. Every time you hear of a story about Patreon A was canceled, Patreon B was canceled, YouTube has been demonetized, AdSense is saying if you don't change things, then you're not going to get advertising revenue from AdSense anymore, and they control like 86% of the advertising online digital marketing / advertising revenues. That's power. People have to start thinking in terms of power. That goes at the city level. It goes at the county level. What are you doing with your time right now? The government doesn't even want you to go outside. They want you to wear a mask. Like that's really going to do something. They want you to look at, basically you're a muzzled dog or something. It's insane. So the point is that you got to get out and start thinking about power projection. Just worrying about it ain't going to help. Who cares? You can worry yourself to death. Quite frankly, I don't worry. I'm not going to worry. Because I'm always working on issues all the time. Always working to make things better all the time. I'm always speaking to people in positions of power all the time. I never stop. I don't rest. And why should I? I have a unique position. I have a unique ability to communicate. I have a unique personality of trust. Why not put that to good work? At the end of the day, there's two forces. One of those is going to tear this place apart, going to create another Soviet Union, going to create another Maoist China, going to create another Pol Pot Cambodia. Or you can understand the situation, understand that it comes down to personnel, and you get busy. It's not like everything is written in the stars here. It's a battle for a reason. But if you lay down like a dog, guess what? They're going to shoot you. It's very simple. They're going to shoot you. They're coming after you. That's the key point. They are coming after you. And the amount of power inside our government appears clearly limited. I've heard so much Q stuff. Trust the plan. Where we go one, we go all. The indictments are coming. They're coming. They're coming. Well, they got Ghislaine Maxwell. That was pretty good. We do know they're taking out a lot of networks. But to me, again, the corruption is so deep in our government. And maybe things are moving in the right direction. Maybe they're not. A lot of us have bantered this thing about left and right and up and down, whichever way you can think about. We bantered about this. We've always felt, frankly, everybody, that when you had the Trump election, it basically bought you some time. And during this time, a lot of people have kept working. This country now, I'm talking about the United States now, has become so well armed at the civil level. But we're in a situation still where the police, in very large segments, and even the federal government, is going after those who are somewhat organized and not a person of color. So essentially, when you try to defend yourself, the state is saying you're not allowed to defend yourself. But still, this comes down to projection of power. Who made the decision that you should not be able to defend yourself? These people have names. If you go out to Washington State, and the mayor is like acting like, oh, this is great, one great love in. And the second people showed up at her $7.5 million mansion, she changed her tune and shut down Chapistan overnight. That's power projection. And how we exercise power has to be thought out very tactfully. Not tactfully, tactically. It's very important. How are you going to influence? Who does the speaking? Who does the paramilitary? Who does the influencing? How is it going to work? And this has to be done community by community by community. You can worry about everything you want. I don't care. Go for it. It's your choice. I know what I'm doing. Day in and day out, I know what I do. Am I worried about the UN? No, honestly, I'm not worried about the UN. Maybe the communitarian angle, but the UN, quite frankly, guys, they were begging for money a month and a half ago. They're begging for money. We should pull out. We should force ourselves out. Again, defunding these things is the fastest way to just basically make them shrivel up and die. It's very simple. It's really not all that complicated. Defund. Defund. Destroy the networks. It's very simple to do if you had the power to do it, the personnel to do it. That's the point. Worrying about something isn't going to help. How do you affect power? How do you affect change? This is where the game now is at, folks. How do you sit there, for instance, in California? You got like a nice little trial thing here. Heck, them telling you to wear a mask or to do other stuff around your community, this is kids' play right now. What's happening now is kids play. It can get many, many magnitudes of times worse. Remember, the people who are behind this current agenda, they're the people who followed what happened in the Soviet Union. They're the people behind Pol Pot. It's the same spiritual channel. So when you heard the Deagle report saying America's going to be down to 60 million people, well, that's because he's tuning into this channel that wants to kill off half of America. And you've now seen the mentality of a huge chunk of Americans. And here, now I'm going to go Illuminati on you for a second. I'm going to go full Illuminati on you. Because the Illuminati at certain levels, they think you're an animal. They don't have any respect for you. You don't have any idea what you're looking at. You don't understand how the language is constructed. You don't have any philosophical basis in their systems. To them, that means you have zero enlightenment. You're basically an animal of the field. That's how they'll view you. And that's how Jews view you today. You're just an animal. You're there to serve Jews and to be harvested for whatever purpose Jews demand. Or they just desire. It doesn't matter. That's the reality of this. They don't care. And when you look at the looters and the rioters and how stupid these people really are, can you really blame some type of quote unquote, enlightened, educated elite looking at this crap and thinking you guys are the dumbest things going, a bunch of animals? Can you really blame them? Think about it. Can you really blame them? I've seen like protesters, white kids, going out in front of a statue, and there's boomers. Huh? Yeah, the boomers are out. And they're defending the statues. I didn't see any of you millennials out there, but I saw some boomers out there defending the statues. And you take these millennial kids, and they're just a bunch of wimps. And they're like, you're a bigot. You're a racist. Again, how do you argue with an idiot like this? And then how can you tell me this is even human? That's how the Illuminati, this benighted things that I rarely ever bother to talk about, that's how they're going to view everybody. You want to talk about a useful idiot? The emphasis is not on useful. It's actually on idiot. Because they're idiots. We are dealing with absolute idiots across the board. Now, I know not all of you are completely lacking in the esoteric structures of which I'm kind of hinting at here. And it is not ever your position, if you actually understand this, to stand down to this type of evil. It's actually a great time to be alive. Believe it or not, it's actually a great time to be alive. Because never has the planet been so threatened than it is today. This is planetary. It's so frustrating, for instance, for me to look at the Philippines. I'm looking at a society of children. We're in the middle of summer. And they're acting as if somehow a flu bug is going to be so bad. What's going on there then? If it's not the flu bug, then tell the people that this is a biological weapon. Why the cowardice? Seriously, why the cowardice? Because the people, quite frankly, generally are proven to be a hell of a lot smarter than the people in the intelligence world. And that's pretty sad considering all the intelligence that the people in the intelligence world should be able to get. But their conclusions are stupid. They're politically driven. Well, the only conclusion we can get is we have idiots. We have absolute idiots in these positions. I have never seen, seriously, a culture, a world so packed with so many idiots running so many things. Okay, everybody. It's late, man. It's 2:30 in the morning. Locally, 2:33 in the morning. Good afternoon to you, though, if you're in California. Good evening, early evening, if you're listening out there in New York. And of course, if you're in Europe, you know what I mean. Let's see here. I don't really know much about it. I don't follow the case all that much because it's not of all the things I need to donate my time to. This is not one of them, but that would be talking about the Ghislaine Maxwell. Again, she was the madame to Jeffrey Epstein. She has been arrested this morning. She's a friend of Prince Andrew, and she's been arrested on child sex trafficking charges. She was captured or taken into custody, I guess, at a New Hampshire estate she'd quote-unquote slid it off to for a life of privilege, unaware that the FBI was watching her. See, they can actually work if they want to. Now, Maxwell's 58 again. She was arrested in Bradford, New Hampshire, this morning. She's said to be in custody. Who really knows? She has been charged with 6 counts, including trafficking minors for sex with perjury for later denying it. The charges apply to incidents between 1994 and 1997 and involve 3 victims, the youngest of which was 14. The indictment claims she groomed the girls for sex with Epstein with her and in New York, Florida, London, and New Mexico. Maxwell had not been seen since last summer when Epstein, quote-unquote, killed himself in jail while awaiting trial. And Maxwell, as you know, was a daughter, I think daughter, right? So, yeah, I think the daughter of Robert Maxwell, the newspaper tycoon. So, again, that ties you back into the Jewish angle. Andrew has been accused of having sex with Virginia Jeffrey Roberts in 2000 when Roberts was 17. And now we're getting very interesting, and again, I'll let others who do this for their hobby, and they'll do a much better job than I, but for whatever reason now, Virginia Jeffrey has been told by the courts to destroy evidence from her case against Ghislaine Maxwell. Isn't that rather convenient? After they say she improperly gained access to the documents. Dershowitz apparently is being a little bit implicated here. He's probably guilty as heck, but who knows? You can't prove it for now. So this story is breaking. Let's see what will come out of this. If anything, again, I'm sure the Q folks are going to be going crazy today with the news of this, because that just means the indictments are coming, everybody. The indictments are coming. Just trust the plan. But no, guys, get out there and work. You know, there's been a couple cases now. I shouldn't say cases, but political issues where we've had some very, let's just say, enlightened people. Colorado, for one, in a very strong-held Democratic area, we've had some wins on the legal side as far as the elections go. Again, whether you like it or not, folks, you're going to have to. I thought that was turned down. You're going to have to get involved, even if you went to Revolution. Which some people say that's the only chance you have, you still have to focus on how to govern afterwards. So you might as well be focusing on it. Now, hi, 210 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live Primetime.
Hello, this is Bruce. How do you hear me?
You're coming in today. How are you?
Oh, good. All right. Yeah, I'm halfway okay. I broke through that virus I had.
You had COVID-19, huh? You had the COVID-19 virus, and you finally kicked it out? You had the flu?
Well, this is the deal. I went to the VA hospital, the most incompetent damn hospital here in town. And the first time I went, I did have a fever, and I had a headache, and I had diarrhea, right? And they did everything except give me the COVID-19 test. And they go ahead and give me 3 rounds of antibiotics, 2 IV, and then the Z-Pak. And I take all that, and a week later, I'm still, didn't touch it, And so I go back, and this is a, what would you call a hospital that has a high degree or a high percentage of preferential hiring?
Okay. You mean diversity hires, huh? Yeah, diversity hires.
Diversity hiring, yes. And so, second time, they give me the COVID-19 test, but they didn't do it right. The girl screwed up because I got a deviated septum in my nose, and the first time she did it, she almost punched through the back of my damn sinuses.
Yeah, I heard they do that. Yeah. I heard it's very, like,
uncomfortable. Yeah, when I got stuck, and she, I told her about it at first, and it, and she continued to force it through, and then it went pop right through the back of my right into the back of my sinus. And so they did it again, but this time they didn't really swab very hard. Well, they said I was negative, but they didn't know what I had. And they wanted to admit me. And I was there in this ER for hour waiting to get admitted. And I got fed up and I disconnected my own IV. They drew blood off my left arm, so I used that bandage on the right arm. Got dressed, put my hat on, my bag, and I walked straight up past the security when they weren't looking and drove home. And they called me. Are you going to come back? Are you going to come back?
Yeah, they want your money.
And I told them why. You know, but I just got better on my own.
Which is what I'm hearing. Even if it's those who I've heard had this thing, COVID, it's a nasty flu. That's what I've heard. And I've had some people that have had some pretty nasty flu. And, yeah, it's not fun. But at the end of the day, you know, this is life. You know, we have to deal with these bugs. And to sit there and panic and live in fear is just absolutely insane. I actually was talking to a general here, dude, with one of the military branches. And former general, now he's in the politics side. And he asked me, you know, what about America? Aren't you guys, you know, it's a problem over there. I said, yeah, I told him it's insane. I said, we didn't build America by being afraid. And he said, yeah, that's absolutely right. I said, so yeah, watching all this fear going through my country is very disheartening because we didn't build our country on fear. And now the people are so afraid it's becoming insane. And he said, yes, I agree. He said, the government's everywhere, including his own, has instilled fear in the people to the point that they're afraid to move. And it's really disheartening, some of these people.
But they're hurting more people by doing this, the mask and the shutdown and destroying the economy than they would by just, I mean, you know, it's maybe a man-made virus. I think it is. This thing, I would spike a fever. I would sweat. I would wake up with my clothes drenched. Usually you do that once or twice with a normal flu, and it just, you know, you break it, you kill the virus. This thing would not die like that. But it was just a flu for me. I had a cough, and I would, you know, spit up some sputum once in a while. But
now, did you have a problem with breathing at all? Anything with the lungs? Was that a problem?
It didn't hurt my lungs that much, and that's weird because I smoke a pipe, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what they're saying here in the Middle East is that people who have shisha, the water tobacco, it actually helps you. It, like, gives you a protective layer or something on your lungs. And people who actually smoke are actually in better shape than people who don't. That's what's being reported here in the Middle East. Seriously. Yeah, that's what they're reporting here. So I make sure I have shisha every day just for medicine purpose.
Yeah. Well, I'm out of work now. The company I work for was contracted out to an oil field services company, and they're cutting back, and they cut out our services. So I applied for unemployment, and you know, I was looking at working in Afghanistan, making $275 a day in security, but I don't get any support from my family at all on that. I would have to get rid of my four dogs.
I don't. And, you're like me. If I got to get rid of the cats, then I can't do it.
I don't know. It's a mind-boggling thing. I mean, it's heartbreaking. I can't do it either.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, I can't either.
So many of my problems. I can get away from this global homo in USA that you can't even, you know, you get a she moon in your face and you can't do anything about it. And you get a Negro that's going to try to kill you and you pull your gun and then you're in jail, you know. And it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and of course these things have
attorneys
to,
and these mayors.
Yeah, and we have to change this environment. It's unacceptable. You cannot allow one group to be a predator over the other. And when you're talking 500,000 plus assaults by black people against white people, enough's enough. Quite frankly, now that you've taken it this far, enough's enough. Now, how do we just now become aware and say enough's enough and really say and really mean it? Enough is enough. Because that's where
it's
at.
Did you see the district attorney St. Louis that's going after that couple.
I haven't seen that, but I saw that picture released today of a black guy confronting them with a rifle. It's like, well, why didn't you tell us about the rifle? Seriously, why didn't you tell us? Why did you keep that? Why did you crop that out of your picture? And then trying to make sense. Oh, well, it's peaceful. It's never peaceful when you break onto someone's property. It's never peaceful. This is, again, that these are issues of politics and personnel. That we should not have that type of idiot in that type of position. We need someone that has common sense. Look, you went on their property. You're making threats. Hey, nobody's harmed. No harm, no foul. You're not hurt. They're not hurt. Leave it. Next time, don't go on because somebody might get hurt. Because this is basically, this is a no harm, no foul situation. Why are you bothering? There's been no victims here.
Because their pets, their preferred citizens have a green light to just get in your face, you know, and scream bloody murder and get on your property and do whatever the hell they want, block you. Like that pregnant woman there in Michigan, you know. Now, did you see that?
I didn't see that one.
No, this pregnant woman and her husband, because she allegedly bumped into Tanisha's daughter there. They get in her face when she's trying to get out of her car.
They try
to back up, and they block her way, and they pound on the SUV. And this woman, she's pregnant. She gets out with her pistol and tells her this woman to back up, get away, you know. And she doesn't shut up, and she takes her cell phone out and continues right in her face, you know. And so they're charging this pregnant white woman with brandishing a firearm. And it's obscene.
Absolutely obscene. Agree, and this is what I mean by the personnel has to change. We need people with common sense there. Again, we have idiots in power. I mean, these people are completely insane. They're insane.
We get them out of power. That's the thing. They're too deeply entrenched. And it's too far wide. All these major cities are run by Democrats. And
yes,
they all
I know.
Pander to their political preference. They don't follow the rule of law. They don't respect the people at all. We're all pawns to them. They'll throw you under the bus and throw you in prison for life if need be.
Yeah.
To make a political point.
Well, that's a case too where, you know, again, if you have to retreat behind and you're behind enemy lines, so, you know, the country that's divided, let's be honest, it's divided now. And if that's the case, why would you want to, you hate to leave, but at the end of the day, you're behind enemy lines. You know, you don't want to give it up, but at the same time, is it smarter to set up a base and solidify it and then expand back out like colonies in the old days? You know, you get too far behind enemy lines. And you just have to pull back. You can't sustain your positions anymore. And people perhaps in the white community have to start looking at this as if it's an actual physical civil war. And although it's marginally hot, it's hot. I mean, come on. When blacks are starting to do this to you all the time, it's hot. It's risking. Every time you go out, it's a risk, which is insane.
Yeah, maybe it's safe for me to say this because it's been – expunged from my record. I paid a lot of money to have this done. But back maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I was driving a truck in the oil field. And it was 4:30 in the morning, and I pulled in at this truck stop on the highway, and the girls just made coffee and cleaned up and everything. And I go in there, and there's this kid, this black kid. There's a white van outside with, they're all workers. I think they're all from a halfway house or something. There's a Christian halfway house down the way from the place. I think that's where they're from. And he had his pants halfway down his ass and, you know, and he was getting coffee and he saw me and he was taking his time and he was spilling cream and sugar everywhere and even his pack. And he was like, he looked back at me like, wait, motherfucker, you know, like that, you know. And then, I told him, hey, you gonna take your trash with you? And he turned around, put his finger in my face, and said, you make me, motherfucker, you make me, you know? And I said, I'm gonna make you get your finger out of my face, you know? And he kept running his mouth, and he turned around and grabbed that stuff, and I said, hey, take your trash with you. Well, he swung around, and he grabbed the hood of my coat because it was cold that day. It was almost freezing. And he pulled it over my head, and he was giving me haymakers, like three in a row. And he was a pretty built kid, you know, but he couldn't knock me out, and I could see where his feet were through the hole in the hood, so I kicked him in the balls with my steel-toed boots. And he started sinking. I grabbed him by his throat and his hair, and I put my thumb in his eyes, and I ran him through a display case towards the door, and we crashed down there. And then he got up, and he ran kind of towards the corner, and he said, you know, man, you see what he did to me and shit, you know, motherfucking, you know. And I got up and kind of like waited for the first cop showed up, and she had us separated, one over here, one over there, you know. And the chief of police shows up, and he goes back and he looks at the video, comes back and says, let him go, pointed at the black kid, pointed at me and said, arrest him. I got charged with simple assault, and I got charged with criminal mischief. And they didn't even arrest the other guy. I mean, he threw the first punch, you know. And it was a bull crap, you know. And I should have fought it, but I didn't. I ended up with a year of community service and a huge fine, you know, like all together, and restitution cost me like $2,500, you know, for defending myself. And that was before all this happened. But that's been the state of the United States for a while now, you know, and it makes me sick. And I want to get the hell out of here. I don't think there's any hope. There ain't no, you know, we're too atomized. People, there's too many shit libs in the white community. I just don't see any way out of it. You know, if there was a way, I think I would stick with it. But I don't know, man. I just don't know.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people share your sentiments, to be honest with you. I get emails from people, consider this country. How about this country, Fetch? What do you think of this country? So a lot of people are thinking also of just bailing on the United States and taking it like the Fetch is done and just saying, we just can't do it. You know, it can't be done type of thing. You know, but back when I decided, this was 2002, 2003, and trust me, it was, nobody was talking about this in 2002, 2003. You know, I was like talking about this in 2002, 2003. And you want to talk of being a lone wolf in a really dark place. That was 2002, 2003. There was nobody talking. Now, so many people are talking, and we'll just have to see where this thing plays out. Because it's going to play out. It's going to play out one way or the other.
Yeah, I think the way that this is how it's going to play out. We're going to go into an engineered collapse. It's like the Soviet Union in the 1980s, you know. And it looks the same. You got the statues being pulled down and all this. I think it's completely organized behind the scenes. It's a regime change operation.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that.
I think the Israeli oligarchs will suck up a bunch of the infrastructure for pennies on the dollar. And many of our weapons, probably Israel will offer to help us if we give them some nukes and whatever else the hell under the table. And they'll end up with whatever they want from our military. And then, you know, we'll end up just a third world country for the duration, you know. It's just, that's how I see it.
Well, you know, that is the exact scenario that Netanyahu says Jews are planning for America. That's the exact scenario. And then basically it will be turned into one giant welfare state that Jews will control, and America will be shriveled up, died, and sold off, and then Jews will control it all.
Yeah.
And as he says, Jews, we're harsh on everybody, but we're really harsh on things we hate, and we really hate the Americans. That's Netanyahu, our greatest ally.
Okay. I want to give a shout out to the guys there in the chat room. Blackbird 9 show was still pretty damn good. I mean, that's still, but it has always been good. And you got maybe one other show, Power and Principalities. They're in prison, but the rest of them, I can't even listen to them anymore. They're pathetic. The whole damn deal's pathetic. And so it's a shame for me to see the alternative media, and we should be crying out one voice for, you know, against this white genocide that's coming down the mountain. They sound like a bunch of wussies, you know. It's just pathetic. Mm. And I hope that changes at least.
Well, I'll tell you.
I'll let you go.
Yeah, all right. Thanks so much, man. All right, Bruce in Texas, everybody. What's actually an interesting story there. That was actually kind of an interesting story. So, telephone lines again, if you'd like to call in, one last call we could probably take, 323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Now I know why that thing ran through, because my settings are off. Okay, that's on me. Sorry about that. Anyways, guys, we just want to go back real quick. We have maybe 3 minutes to go. We've now seen here that, no, we don't want that story. Where's the story we want? We had one story pulled. Trust me, we had one story. Had to deal with Flynn. But General Flynn apparently was quite, one of the reasons they apparently went after Flynn was we're learning now that Brennan and others were running a lot of money off the books, and Flynn knew about all of these things. So one of the points was to take this guy out. Again, the real issue remaining in the states today right now is probably the COVID-19 issue. How do you deal with this? Again, the people in power are going to milk this for all it is worth. We're seeing again Newsom going after everybody again. How these people, again, I cannot imagine for the life of me these people surviving a single political cycle. I can't imagine it. Really, I cannot. Regarding the genocide, the attack on white people, it's real, folks. And unfortunately, it's going to get hot. This is what I see happen. It's going to get hot. And and you may not win. Again, you didn't win in Rhodesia. You did not win in South Africa, and there's no saying you can win here. The difference is, aside from maybe some transnational NGOs, international NGOs, Jews don't have a power base to work from unless they're using the Chinese against the American people. And that's the only power structure we believe that is probably would be willing to go against the United States right now would be the Chinese, but it's only going to happen with the help of the Jewish elite inside of America. Understand that in the past 4 months, Jewish elites have taken in now some $455 billion in wealth. That is a huge wealth transfer out of middle America straight into the pockets of a couple, literally a couple handfuls of Jewish oligarchs in the United States. 450 some odd plus billion dollars has been transferred from middle America to Jewish oligarchs. That is an unheard of wealth transfer through basically what was nothing but a manufactured crisis, of which Bill Gates is promising the next one is going to get your attention. On this one, we've had massive fraud. The CDC has been grossly overcounting the numbers, and they have basically done this probably to keep everything shut down. And we'll just have to see how that one goes too. Guys, it's playing out now. It's not just this show, obviously. It's a huge game in play here. Last story here. We don't have time for this story. There's the break. All right, folks, we're out of time. I'll catch you July 4th. Those of you who are in town, I'll be live July 4th, Saturday. See, catch the show 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. See you then. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you Saturday. Good night.